Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov El Esav Ochiv, and Yaakov Avinu sent messengers before him to Esav his brother. Arza Seyers they had him. The land of Seir to the field of Edrein. As Yaakov Avinu was about to enter Eretz Yisrael, he would be passing the land of Esav, so he wanted to make sure that Esav would be appeased before he enters. He wasn't interested in getting into a melchama with him, so he sent messengers to him. So Rashi says over here, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, Malachim Mamish. Doesn't mean just plain messengers. It was literally Malachim. Yaakov Avinu was sent in to Esav. So the Chofetz Chaim over here, in the beginning of this parasha, he has an interesting shaila. Who is greater, a man or a malach? Which one is greater? From the pasuk here, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonav, Rashi says he sent Malachim as messengers. So Yaakov was the Mishalayach, and the messengers, the Malachim, they did his bidding. Mashmois would be that man is greater than Malach. The confrontation between the Sar Shalaisiv and Yaakov Avinu. Yaakilo Yochaloi. He saw the Malach, saw that he couldn't fight with Yaakov. You have a copy of Reichai. Abulamaisi, Yaakov Avinu held on to him, and he wouldn't let him go, and the Malach couldn't get out until he gave him the bracha. It would again seem that there was Yaakov had a superiority over the Malach. Me'idachisa, we find that Malachim had a superiority over a man. We find in Yehoshua that when Yehoshua met a Malach, he bowed down to the Malach. Medrash tells us a remarkable thing in the beginning of Sefer Malachim. It says that David HaMelech, when he became old, so he was cold. His posh was freezing. And the begodim would not keep him warm. So the Radak quotes a Medrash that says, what made David HaMelech so cold? Why did his body temperature go down? Because at the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, it says that a Malach came to Yerushalayim to inflict the plague against Yerushalayim. That's when David HaMelech, when he counted the Bnei Yisrael, he shouldn't have counted them. He counted them, and that caused Ein Hara, and it caused the plague in Klal Yisrael. So David HaMelech saw the Malach that came to inflict the plague, and from that he became freezing cold. He's David HaMelech, the great warrior that killed Goliath, that fought the battles of Klal Yisrael. But he saw Malach, his body temperature plummeted. So again, Malach is greater than others. So which one is it? And B'chlal the Chofetz Chaim says, how is it possible that a human being can be greater than a Malach? A Malach is kulay eish lahava, fire. You know, we're made out of a body of basar v'dam, which eventually will decompose and evaporate. So how is it possible that b'chlal a person should be greater than a Malach? So after Chofetz Chaim, Moshe l'mahadav r'dayim, the king's palace, you have the butlers and the different people that are serving in the king's palace. They're dressed in beautiful uniforms. Everything is mamish pressed perfectly. They're mamish meticulous in the way they look. There's gold buttons, shiny gold buttons on the uniforms. Their shoes are polished, mamish so shiny. And they look picture perfect. At the very same time that there are goings on in the palace, and they're taking care, they're giving cover to the Melech, and everything runs normally. On the outskirts of the country, there's a war going on. This country is at war with a different country. And the soldiers of this country are fighting a very tough battle. And they're wearing their army uniforms that are muddy and wet and soaked with sweat and with blood. And the general of the army is called to give an accounting to the king. And the king sends a wagon for him. He doesn't have a chance to change his clothing. He's in his muddy uniform with his muddy army boots. He comes into the king. And instead of being machshir, the people with the beautiful uniforms, the king hugs this general because he knows that the king of the entire country is totally this general. He's the one that's leading the men to fight against the other country. He realizes that the peace and the menuchas and nefesh in his own country and in his own palace is totally this man whose uniform is all muddy and his boots are muddy and he hasn't taken a shower in a while. So the king is very much maxing this person over the people that are in their fancy uniforms. So that's the difference between us and the Malachim. The Malachim Taka have a goof of fire. They have a labush of fire. And they keep the covet of Shamayim up in Shamayim. They keep things working up there. But who are the people that are fighting the war? That's a boss of Adam. We are the ones that are fighting the war. We, despite this physical goof that takes its toll upon us, that draws us in the wrong direction, we have to overcome the Yetzirah, to get up early in the morning when the Yetzirah beckons to us, lie in bed, you know, after a full day's work of taking care of different tzrachim, taking care of parnosa, taking care of the kids. Person comes at night to learn in the Beis Medrash. He is the one that's fighting the battle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one that keeps the true shalom in the world. He might have a muddy uniform, he might have a body that's weary and tired, and it doesn't look anything like the fiery bodies of the Malachim of Lamaisa. That's the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makshim. So it could be in our matzav of right now, our uniforms are muddy and we don't look anything like the Malachim. But on Lachamed Esr Shana, the human being comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more makshim? It's the people that fought down here. It's the people that fought the battles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the human being. That's... man is more choshev than Malach. I think it's a Malbim that says that Yaakov Avinu's remarkable chaloyim, Sula Mutzavarza, Roshe Megi Hashemayimu, Umalachi Elohim Oyvim Vyardenbay. I believe it's the Malbim that says that the Sula Mutzavarza, Roshe Megi Hashemayimu, represents the person. Umalachi Elohim Oyvim Vyardenbay. The Malachim of Hashem, they go up and down based on the actions of the human being. So maybe the Kipshal I saw from, I think, Rav Sternbuch Shlita. Medrash tells us that B'shas Akedas Yitzchak, how did Yitzchak become blind? Because during the Akeda, the Malachim were crying and their tears fell into his eyes. Now that blinded him exactly, I'm not 100% sure, but they cried during the Akeda. So he asked the question, why were the Malachim crying? They realize more than anybody else what the Indian is of one being mocked with himself on the Mizbeah. They realize more than anybody else how beautiful it is up there up in Shemayim. So they were crying for Yitzchak. Yitzchak would be zeicha to a lichtig ganein. What were they crying about? So Rav Sternbuch says they were crying for themselves. Because the more tzaddikim that there are down here, the more the malachim have an aliyah. Their aliyah in Yerida is totally in the amount of kedusha that is down here in this world. So Yitzchak Avinu attacking all of the shrine, they weren't crying for him. There'd be one less tzaddik down here. The level of Kedusha down here would not be as great. The level of the Malachim goes down. That's what they were crying about. So that tells us something. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have our daily routine. The body is tired, and it's schwer. It's schwer to come to a shir, and it's schwer to go to davening three times a day. And we carry those bodies around, and we don't have that simchas hachayim sometimes. We forget who we really are, but the emes is, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu really makshiv? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makshiv us over the Malachim. The world can get along without Malachim, but the ones that fight the battle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's us. Pasuk goes on to say, Vayitzavei Sam Lamer, Koyseim Run, La'Deinila Esav. This is what you should say to my master Esav. In love and garti, with love and I lived Va'echar Arata, I remained until now by Hili Shor v'chamar. Tzoyin v'eved v'shivcha. I had oxen and donkeys and sheep and eved v'shivcha. Rashi says over here, in Lovan Garti, Garti is the same gematria as Taryag. In Lovan Garti, the Taryag mitzvah shamarti. So somebody once told the Riskevart over a drush over here, which the Riskevart had Hanoah from. It says, Lovan Garti, which means v'tayag mitzvah shamarti, v'ahili yishor v'chamar. So he types, what's the pshat? How is it possible that Yaakov Avinu should live with a lovan for 20 years and not be affected? In lovan garti, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti, v'loi v'omadati m'maisav haroim, the Torah says, v'ahili yishor v'chamar. He was to me like a shor v'chamar. I didn't look at him as like a regular person, as an equal to me. I looked at his way of life like that of a Shor v'Chamor. He lived the life of a behemoth. That had no effect on me. Now again, that doesn't mean to say, Chas v'Sholem, we should look at Goyim as behemoths. Adarav, Goyim is also a Tzadon Olikim. Enikel of Rav Yankiv told me he was once walking with Rav Yankiv on Saddle River. They were talking and learning. And all of a sudden, Yaakov excused himself. There was a Goyish Levaya that was passing by the cars. So Yaakov Avinu stepped out, and he was Malava. He was Malava the Orem, of a non-Jew. So his Einikah looked at him. He said, like, my high. He said, push it. Cover up here. It's a Telemelechim. It's Chas v'Sholem. Not to give covered up ears to a guy, but by the same token, we have to realize that their way of life is a way of life of Bahamias. And Mimele, what's good for the Goyish world is not good for us. We're living in a different world than they are. And this was the attitude that Yaakov Avinu had. In Lavan Garti, in Taka living with the Lavan. How is I Shemer Tayag Mitzvahs? Because by Hili Shor V'Chamor, to me, his way of life was that of a Maisa Bang. And Mimele has nothing to do with me. The same way a person has a horse in the barn. Is he going to learn from his horse? Of course not. You know, the horse has no effect on his way of thinking, on his way of life. I thought that America couldn't get any lower than it already was. But I see I'm learning new things every day. When 2 days ago you hear in the news that the Secretary of State, the Choshevet, Mrs. Clinton, made an announcement that from now on, the allotments of aid to foreign countries, one of the things they're going to take into consideration is how they, what their attitude is to same-gender marriages. As if they honor it, they, you know, they're maximum, they don't discriminate against it, they'll be taken more into consideration for foreign aid. This is the thing that we have on our mind right now. The economy of the country is coming apart. The world situation is mamish. It is as precarious as it ever has been. But in his speech to the Secretary of State, of course by the TV of her boss in the White House, this is what they have on their mind right now. So how in the world could someone that's in his right mind consider them, their way of life, as equal to ours? That goes into Vayihili Shor V'Chamor. We have to come to the realization America is the greatest country in the world. And we enjoy the greatest liberties. And to be a from Yid is Givaldig over here. At the same time, with the great opportunity, there's the opposite. There's the great Yetzirah. And we have to realize that that way of life that we see here in America is Vayihili. To me, that is Shor V'Chamor. That is the way of a Shor V'Chamor. And the male, I can't learn from that. Hadar Rabbis, somebody said of Esau to this word. In last week's parsha, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu the time has come to leave, so he called Rachel on the way out into the field, and he says, Re'isi es pnei avicha, I saw the face of your father. It's not like the way it was yesterday, the day before. He doesn't look at me with the same, you know, with the same face. He's more angry at me. It looks like he's chayshed me that I'm stealing from him. So the same person types, I looked at the face of your father, and it wasn't the way it was yesterday, the day before. Yesterday, the day before, I looked at his actions as out of the behemoth, but I'm getting used to it already. I don't have that same revulsion as I had yesterday and the day before. That's a simon, it's time to leave. Then already, you know, we have to get out of here. It's a pshat, not simple pshat, but it's a nice limud that we have to know for ourselves. Vayira Yaakov Ma'id, and Yaakov Avinu was very much afraid, Vayetzirloi, and he was worried. So Rashi says, what is the double lashon of Vayira? He was afraid, Vayetzir, and he was worried. Zok Rashi, Vayira Shema Yeharek. He was worried maybe he would be killed. Vayetzirloi, I'm sorry, he was afraid maybe he would be killed. Vayetzirloi, im yaharig hu esachem. He was worried if he would kill other people. Pashto pshat is, he didn't want to be a shayfer adama. Pashto ask a kasha, what was he worried about? Not to kill others. Chazal say, habo hargicha, hashkin v'harga yitchila. Somebody comes to kill you, kill him first. So what was he worried about, that he would kill others? Pashto pshat is, Yaakov Avinu, the mufar shiva avos, he didn't want to have blood on his hands. That's the simple pshat. The Vilna Gaon says a beautiful pshat here. The Vilna Gaon says, we know that there were many good people that came out of Esav. Ovadia, the Novi Ovadia, Ger Tzedek, Unculus Hager, Antoninus, one of the greatest Tanoim of all time, the great Tanner of Meir. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Gittin that Nero was one of the Roman generals that came to attack Yerushalayim. And he was worried about attacking Yerushalayim. He made all kinds of simonim. He shot an arrow to the east, landed in Yerushalayim. Shot an arrow to the west, it landed in Yerushalayim. To the north, it all landed in Yerushalayim. And finally, he asked the child, tell me the pasuk that you learned today, Psoikli Psukecha, which in those days was treated as a nevuah. And the child answered, Vinosatias Nikmosi Be'elim, I will place my nekumen against Elim. So Niron said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy his people and he wants to wipe his hands on me. I'm not going to do it. He ran away and he became a ger. Became a yid. And from him, he was Rav Meir's great-great-grandfather. So from him came Rav Meir. As I state in the Gemara, we know that in the Braisa, Rav Meir is known as Acherim. Acherim Oimrim. That is referring to Rav Meir. So Dr. Vilna Gaon, that's the pshat over here. Not that he was killed, not he was afraid he would kill others. Habol harga, hashim harga chila, over by Yerushem Yaharag Acherim, that's Rav Meir. He knew Rav Meir was supposed to come out of Esav. And in this Mulchama, he was afraid that he would kill the forebear of Acherim, of the great Tanner Rav Meir. That is what he was afraid of over here. Now the Rishayim is Kakasha, what was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him he's going to guard him, he's going to be shomer him, he's going to deliver him back there in Yisrael. So what exactly was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? Rashi, a few psukim later, says, on the pasuk Katainti Mikol HaChasodim, Mikol HaEmes, Rashi says that Agam HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to deliver him safely to Eretz Yisrael. But this is the way of tzaddikim. They always think, Nismatu Zechuyosai, maybe since the promise, I was like Raveris, maybe my Zechuyos got less because of all of the chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with me. So that's what he was afraid of. But the Bali Ataisris on Allah Torah bring down that this question was asked by a Mitronisa, by a Choshev woman. What was Taki Yaakov Avinu afraid of? About HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he's going to bring him back there to Israel. So the Bali Ataisis answered that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu that he was going to deliver him, Yaakov Avinu was only there with his stick. Kivamakli Avarti Esayarin Azeh. But now, from Yaakov Avinu going by himself with his stick, he multiplied so much that he was divided into two camps. For that he didn't have a haftacha. But then Yaakov Avinu said, about himself, he wasn't really so worried about. He was bigger worried about the Emal Bonham. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns Vayira, maybe he himself will be killed. That's Rashi Lashitosa, because Rashi learns he was afraid that his own Zechusim got less, so he was even worried about himself. Taishas learns about himself, he wasn't really worried, because he had the promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was worried about the expansion. There were so many more Nefashas here, that is what he was worried about. Yaakov Avinu says, "Kotainti mikol hachasodim, mikol haemes, asher asisa es avdecha." And Rashi says, "My zechuyos have gotten less because of all of the good that you've done for me. I'm using up my credit." It's a beautiful word here from the Sfas Emes. It brings down from the Chozem Lublin. Kotainti, that I am humble, that I am small, is also a chelik of your chesed. Kotainti, that I'm an onav, is mikol hachasodim, from the chasodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he fears hashgacha, that it humbles us. And if a person is takazoicha to the midah of anav, it's not something that comes by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him live a life where he has nisyonis, and he has to face different hardships, and those hardships, gufa, are the things that humble him. So the kotainti, the fact that I'm small, the fact that I'm an onav, that gufa is mikola chasodim, mikola emes, that gufa is from the chasodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Famous question at the Mefarshim ask over here is, what happened all of a sudden to Esav? The Malachim come back, they say, Rashi says, we came to your brother that you consider like a brother, but he's still got that same sinner as he did 20 years ago. And he's coming with 400 men. Yaakov Avinu was afraid, and Esav comes mamish with such a ritzicha, that jealousy, that and the hatred that built up over a period of 20 years. And yet when he comes to Yaakov, it says, Vayishak loy, Rashi brings down a pshat, that Chazal say that at that moment that he kissed him b'lev sholem, he had a tremendous ahava to him. What happened to him all of a sudden? There are numerous pshatim that are said. I said a pshat list here based on a maisa, and I'm going to repeat the same maisa, but with a different conclusion. There's a maisa that happened to Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. He was active in trying to make peace with the Arabs in those days. And there was a lot greater chance in those days of making peace with the Arabs than there are today. Because we're living today 60 years, 70 years later, when tensions have built up over this long period of time. Today it's not very easy. Not possible. You need Mashiach today. But he was in the process of making peace with the king of Arabia at the time. And he was working on it, and he was being pretty successful. But the Zionists at the time, they hated him. They looked at him as a traitor. They wanted nothing of it. They weren't interested in making peace. They were interested in taking over Eretz Yisrael for themselves. And they labeled Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld a traitor. They vilified him in the press. And one day he's sitting and learning by his Gemara, and these five big guys, not from the fellas, they come in, they storm into his house, and they start screaming at him, and they start threatening, they're going to kill him, they're going to be... This Einikel that he was learning with Mamish ran into a corner of the room he was hiding. Rav Yosef Chaim is sitting by his Gemara, peacefully, Mamish b'menucha. And as the threats are getting bigger and bigger, we're going to kill you, you know, you better change your stance. He opened up his shirt and he said, if you want, you can shoot me right here. But I'm not going to change my stance, Akihuza. If you want to live your shita, I'm not going to tell you how to live your shita. But one thing is most certain, you're not going to change my shita. He says, I'm going to go on with my stance, do what I have to do. All of a sudden, they chapta pachat, and they ran out. They ran out in fear. I guess, yeah. Sir Moshe Blau, who was very close to Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, he touched up the mice. What happened all of a sudden? They came with such a ritzich, with such a venom. And all of a sudden they left. He said they saw the Kedusha of the Heilige Yid. When you come in contact with Kedusha, then even if you're on the lowest Madrega, when you come in contact with Kedusha, Kedusha could reform even the biggest, you know, the biggest scoffer and the biggest apikairis and the biggest seinei taira. That's what Kedusha could do to you. It's a feirish and medrash. Medrash says that before the mice of Hanukkah, as the Yevonim were about to go into the Heicho, they were afraid to go into the Beis HaMikdash by themselves. They had a fear of the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted a Jew to go in first. So they figured they'll have a Hellenized Jew that we're willing to go in and be metam of the Beis HaMikdash. They found a Yid there, his name was Yossi Meshisa. They said, Yossi, go in there. Whatever you take out for yourself, you can keep. So this fellow was a Hellenized Jew, totally off the derech, marches himself into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Heichal, picks up the Menorah, and walks out with the Menorah. Chutzpah Shein Kamayim. The Goyim saw this, even they were taken aback. They said, no, you know, this is something special. Take that back in there. You can take something else out. So Yossi said, have I reached such a low that I'm willing to go into the Beis HaMikdash and take something out? And even the Goyim are makir that I did something shalaykai. And he resolved right then and there, he's not going back in. And they started threatening him. He said, I'm not going back in. Chazal said they put him on a bed full of pegs, metal pegs, and they pressed him into it, and he died al Kiddush Hashem, but he wouldn't go back in. So the Pana Vizharov here, so it's like, what happened to him from one second to the next? In the very beginning, he was willing to march in there, and a few minutes later, you know, he dies al Kiddush Hashem. So the Pana Vizharov said, that's what Kedusha does to a person. He was in the Beis HaMikdash for a few moments. That contact with Kedusha, that transformed him completely. It's the same thing over here. This is the way Rav Moshe Blau touched up the Maisa, which Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. And that's also the Yoktaich, what happened over here with Esav and Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was at the peak of his Kedusha. Yaakov Avinu had just lived for 20 years where he fought a battle with the Yetzer Hara. He lived with a Lavan and he kept Tariyat Mitzvahs. His Kedusha was L'mayla, L'mayla. And Esau now came in contact with that Kedusha, that Gufa transformed him. So that when he cried B'Shas Ma'aseh, he cried Emes Dikei tears, tears of sincerity. And when he said afterwards, let's walk together, he sincerely felt like that, because he wanted, he felt this Kedusha, he felt that it would have an effect. But Yaakov Avinu knew that this matzah is not going to last forever. So Yaakov Avinu said, you know, you go ahead of us, we'll meet one day by Har Seir, as Rashi says, at that time the ra that's within Esav is going to be taken away, and Chazal tell us there'll be a lot of good things that come from Esav loss of loving when it was going to come into contact with the Kedusha. Oh, but the Vaila, that's only good for us and lovely. The Vaila, as long as we don't reach that level of Olam HaYishim HaHatziyon, it's impossible for Yaakov and Esav to live together. There's a beautiful verse here from the Vilna Gaon. The Yaakov Avinu brought his shvachos, his maidservants, and his wives, Zacharos or Yelodov, and his 11 children. So Rashi asks the question, where was Dina? What happened to Dina? Why only 11 children? He had 12 children. Where was Dina? So Rashi answers, he put her into a box. He didn't want Esav to set his eyes upon her, so he hid her from Esav. And because of that, he was punished, because it could be that if she would have married Esav, she would have been Machzor and Lamuta. Because of that, he was punished with the Maisa of Shechem. Shechem kidnapped Dina. So the Vilna Gaon asks, how did Rashi know that it was Dina that was missing? V'dina heichon ha'isa. Maybe it was one of the brothers that was missing. How does Yaakov know for such a daughter? He had 12 children, 11 sons with Dina. Binyamin wasn't born yet. So how did Rashi know right away that it was Dina that was missing? So the Vilna Gaon says that there's a Targum Sheni in Megillas Esther, when Haman refused to bow down. When Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman, so the people told him, you know, what's wrong? Why don't you bow down? Yaakov and the Shvatim, they bowed down to Esav, the ancestor of Haman. So why do you refuse to bow down? So Mordechai said, my ancestor didn't bow down. My ancestor's Binyamin. I stammed from Binyamin. Binyamin wasn't born yet. And because he didn't bow down, that is why the Beis Hamikdash was built in his Caleb. So the Meila, my ancestor didn't bow down, I'm also not going to bow down. So the Meila, if it would have been one of the other Shvatim that wasn't there that didn't bow down, why wasn't the Beis Hamikdash built in their Chelek? Al-Karach, since you see that it was only built in the Chelek of Binyamin, Shmah, you know, Binyamin was the one that was missing. Right? And Binyamin wasn't there, rather, I'm sorry. All the other Shvatim were there. And Dina, anyway, didn't get a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Women didn't get a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi knew that it was Dina and not one of the other Shvatim. Now, I once heard from Avigdor Miller, what was the time on Yaakov Avinu that he hid Dina from Esav? He didn't want her to marry Esav. And because of that, he was punished. What kind of time is that? Yaakov Avinu was expected to give his daughter to Esav because maybe he'll be mazer him lamutiv. What kind of a risk is he supposed to? That's a risk that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to take. So Rabbi Gamilla said, in Slabodka, we used to say, in Slabodka, they used to say that when he was banging the nails into the box to hide her, he banged a little bit too hard. But then we asked again, why shouldn't he have banged too hard? He was worried that maybe Esav would get there. What was wrong with banging so hard? He says, then they answered in Slabodka, he said, that in Shemayim, when they counted up the tears that Yaakov Avinu shed while he was doing it, they found that they were lacking in tears. In other words, when he was hiding Dina from Esav, he certainly did the right thing. But it should have been with a feeling, oy vey, if only I could give her to him, that she'd be able to be Mazar and Lamutim. I can't, but if only I would be able to do it. When Tzaddikim are judged, they're judged on the entire picture, not only by the external actions, but they're also judged by the machshavas that they have. So when they counted up Yaakov Avinu's tears, they found that the tears were missing. Mishnah Masechtas Yuma says that 7 days before Yom Kippur, they used to train the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah, and they were afraid during the times of the Tzedekim, they were afraid that the Kohen Gadol would do the Avodah wrong, so they made him make a shvur, he's going to do it at the Halacha. Who Pirish and Boiche? He used to be Pirish and cry because they were Kohen. The Hang Pirish and Boiche. The Mishnah tells us that they have to cry, that they have to be Kohen Yidbuk Serum. They have to do what they have to do. There was a chiyuv on them to do that, to be mashpiyim. But they also had to have the feeling, oi, 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 if only, we didn't have to be chayshid another yid. And here the time on Yaakov Avinu was not on the action that he hid Dina. He did what he was supposed to do. But the inner makshava should have been one of more tzar. Halavai, I could have given her so that she could be master of the mutav. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.